We present Peter Cook as Paul Temple and Marjorie Westbury as Steve in Paul Temple and the Lawrence Affair, a serial by Francis Durbridge. Paul Temple and the Lawrence Affair, Episode 4, Return to Darnborough.
Sorry I'm late, Paul. I got caught in the theatre traffic.
No, my dear.
I'd like a drink, please.
Yes, all right. I'll get the wine waiter.
You sound very serious. Is something wrong?
Yes.
What is it?
I'll tell you after supper, Steve.
Why not now?
No, I'd rather tell you afterwards, dear, while we're having coffee.
Paul, you're not feeling ill.
No, I'm fine. Don't worry, Steve. I'll tell you all about it afterwards.
All right. Well, I'm going to powder my nose, darling. While I'm away, you can order me the largest dry martini you've ever... Paul, I...
What is it, Steve?
I've lost my handbag.
You sure?
Well, of course I'm sure. I know. I had it in the cinema.
Was it the black one?
Yes, the one I showed you earlier this evening.
The one you took to Darnborough?
Yes. Paul, this is very odd. You remember what Mary Gardner said?
Yes, I do.
It's an extraordinary coincidence.
A little too extraordinary for my liking.
What do you mean?
Mary Gardner warned you. She knew that sooner or later someone would attempt to get that handbag from you.
But why? I mean, it's just an ordinary handbag.
What was in it?
Just the usual things. A handkerchief and a compact with a letter. And, oh, Paul, my gold earrings.
Were they in the...
Yes, one of them was hurting slightly, so I took them off and put them in my bag.
While you were in the cinema?
Yes.
Can you remember when you last saw the bag?
It's difficult to say. I certainly had it in the cinema.
You don't actually remember bringing it out with you?
No, I don't.
Was there anyone sitting next to you?
Yes, a man came and sat down while the picture was on, but I didn't see him properly.
Well, there's nothing we can do at the moment. We'll call at the cinema on the way home.
You think it's been stolen, don't you?
Well, don't you? The question is, why?
I don't know why, but Mary Gardner knew.
Yes.
Paul, tell me, what happened tonight?
A man called Barker committed suicide or was murdered. We're not sure which. Anyway, Vosper had a hunch that I might be able to identify him.
Who was he?
He was Ernest De Silva's chauffeur.
His chauffeur? But does that mean...
Steve, look, there's something I've got to say, and it's not going to be easy.
What?
I want you to go away for a little while.
Go away?
Yes.
Where to?
The south of France, if you like.
South of France?
Have a holiday. Enjoy yourself.
But I've just had a holiday.
Well, have another one. It won't do you any harm.
What is this?
Steve, I'm very worried about this Lawrence affair.
That's no reason for trying to get rid of me.
I'm not trying to get rid of you. You know what I'm thinking about, don't you?
Yes, you're worried because Mary Gardner was shot wearing my coat.
Exactly.
You think those shots were meant for me, don't you?
Yes, I do, but that isn't everything.
Well, go on.
This afternoon, when they fished Barker out of the river, they found a wallet on him. There were half a dozen photographs in the wallet, snapshots, and they were all of you.
Of me?
Yes.
Why on earth did he carry photographs of me?
There's only one possible explanation. He carried them as a means of identification. There was going to be no mistake next time, Steve.
But why on earth should they bother their heads about me? Surely you're the one they should worry about.
Yes, but for some unknown reason, you're the one they're interested in.
Where were the photographs taken? In London?
I'm not sure. They were mostly street photographs. You obviously didn't realize they were being taken.
Was I carrying a handbag?
Yes.
The black one?
Yes. Yes, I believe it was.
Well, isn't it possible then that it wasn't me they were interested in, but the handbag?
Certainly an interesting theory. You know, I ought to have thought of that.
Yes, dear, you should. And there's something else you ought to have thought of, too.
What's that?
I'm just as interested in this Lawrence affair as you are. And we'll both go to the south of France when it's all over.
All right, Steve. All right, dear.
Timothy, you were lucky to find a parking space.
I'll drive.
All right, here's the key.
And next time you park the car, I suggest you lock it.
Well, I was so delighted to find a spot to park it.
What is it?
Paul, look. On the back seat, My handbag.
Oh, well, really.
I'm sure I didn't put it
there. Steve, you really do take the prize. For the last half hour, we've discussed nothing but that wretched handbag and all the time it's been here in the car.
But, Paul, I know I didn't put it there.
Well, if you didn't, who did? Now, come on, get in. Tell me, were you in a hurry when you left the cinema?
Well, yes. I mean, I knew I was late.
And you jumped into the car and tossed your bag onto the back seat?
No.
Well, you are a goose, really.
Festival hall looks very gay. I've never seen it like that before with all the lights.
There must be a dance on or something. Tired?
Just a little. But...
Oh, what's the matter?
Sorry. I thought I was going to sneeze. You know, it's a curious thing. When we drive by here during the day, I always think the river looks so...
Oh, I hope you haven't got a cold.
No, I'm all right. It doesn't... Sound a bit thick, don't I?
Yeah, you certainly do.
I'd better get my handkerchief. It's in my handbag.
Which is on the back seat, darling.
Now, stop it. That's quite enough.
Can you reach?
Yep, I think so.
I always remember the first time I drove round the embankment, many years ago. I had an old 10-horsepower...
Paul, this isn't my handbag.
What do you mean?
It looks like it. It looks exactly like it, but look, it's so heavy, and it feels...
Don't open it, Steve. For goodness sake, don't open it.
Look out, Paul. We'll be on the embankment. Careful.
Oh. Phew.
Paul, are you hurt?
No, but I couldn't see a thing. Oh. The bullet splintered the windscreen.
Oh, look, you've cut your hand.
It's nothing, Steve. Don't worry about it.
That shot might have killed you.
Yes, but it wasn't intended for me.
What on earth happened?
The revolver fired when you opened the clasp. Fortunately, it was pointing the other way.
They must have stolen my bag in the cinema and planted this thing in the car while we were having supper.
Yes, and Mary Gardner knew they were going to do it.
But why, Paul?
I don't know, Steve. But by Timothy, I'm going to find out. Oh, hello, Charlie. I thought you'd be in bed by now.
I was in bed, sir, but Mr. Burford's called to see you. He said it was urgent, so I asked him to wait.
Mr. Burford?
Yes, Mrs. Temple.
It's Max Burford. Where is he, Charlie? In the drawing room?
Yes, sir.
Right.
Oh, but, Paul, you've got to do something about that hand.
Oh, all right, Steve. Offer Burford a drink. I'll be with you in 2 or 3 minutes.
Yes, well, I'll go and talk to him.
All right. Give me some of that antiseptic ointment, Charlie. It's in the bathroom.
Yes, sir.
Oh, hello, Burford. Sorry to keep you waiting.
Good evening, Mr. Temple.
Oh, didn't my wife offer you a drink?
Well, of course I did, but Mr. Burford...
I'd rather not, sir. Thank you very much.
Oh. Well, what can I do for you?
I don't know that you can do anything for me. But, Mrs. Temple, you remember that man you saw at Downborough, the man you thought was me?
Yes.
Would you recognize him again?
Well, I think so.
I'd like you to take a look at this photograph.
Oh, yes. Yes, this is the man.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. But who is he, Mr. Burford? You know, he's very like you.
His name's Freeman. Don Freeman. He's a cousin of mine, although we've always looked more like brothers. Twin brothers, in fact.
Why didn't you tell me about Freeman when I questioned you? Obviously you must have thought of him.
Yes, I did. But I didn't want to say anything about him until... Well, until I was quite sure.
And now you're quite sure?
Yes. It was Freeman your wife saw at Donborough. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
What was he doing there?
I don't know.
Have you asked him?
Yes. He denies going to Donborough, and he says he's not interested in you or Mrs. Temple. But he's not telling the truth. I'm sure he's not.
Supposing you tell us something about this cousin of yours.
I'm afraid he's something of a mystery.
Uh-huh.
He always seems to be fairly well off, and yet no one seems to know what he does for a living.
Is he married?
No, he's a bachelor. Keeps himself very much to himself.
Where does he live?
He travels a great deal, mostly on the continent. But he has a cottage just outside Felixstowe. I went down there this morning.
Go on.
I told him about your visit and the fact that Mrs. Temple was under the impression she'd seen me at Downborough. I said the only possible explanation was that we'd been mistaken for each other.
But he denied it.
Most emphatically, a little too emphatically, in fact. That's what made me suspicious.
Why?
Well, it's my opinion, Don's up to something. His whole manner implies a certain caution. I have a shrewd suspicion that whatever it is he's mixed up in, he's out of his depth.
Why do you say that?
For one thing, he's using another name.
Another name?
Yes. A telephone call came through for him while I was in the cottage. It was a personal call, but the operator didn't ask for Don Freeman.
What did she ask for? I mean, who? Could you hear?
Quite clearly. She asked for Lawrence. Clive Lawrence.
And Freeman took the call?
Yes.
What did he say?
He said, "Is that you, Tico? There's nothing to worry about. She's been taken to the Isle of Skye."
There's nothing to worry about. She's been taken to the Isle of Skye.
Yes.
Is that all he said?
Yes. He didn't even give the other person time to reply. Well, that may have been because I was there, of course.
You're sure he called the man who telephoned Tico?
Well, it sounded like Tico. It's an unusual name, isn't it?
Yeah, it is indeed. Have you heard it before?
Yes. Isn't there a dance band fellow called Johnny Tico?
Yes, I believe there is. You'd better give me Freeman's address, Murphy.
It's Redstone Cottage, Denford Heath, near Felixstowe.
Denford Heath, near Felixstowe. Thank you. Well, it was very decent of you to come along with this information.
I'm afraid I had no alternative.
Why do you say that?
I tell you, Don's up to something. And whatever it is, well, I wouldn't want you to think that I was mixed up in it.
Oh, I see. Well, why not change your mind and have a drink? I'm going to have one.
All right. I'll join you. Whiskey and soda, please.
Mr. Temple is here, sir.
Right. Send him in, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Oh, and don't forget the coffee I ordered. Black coffee.
Very good, Inspector. This way, sir, please.
Thank you. Good morning, Vosper.
Hello, Temple. That's all right, Sergeant.
Yes.
Oh, you might tell the superintendent I'll be at the 12 o'clock meeting.
Very good, sir.
You look tired, Inspector.
Not surprising. I haven't had any sleep for 36 hours.
Oh, when did you get back?
About an hour ago.
Did you fly?
Yes, I left Edinburgh at 7 o'clock. 24 hours ago, I was in the Isle of Skye.
I understand from Sir Graham that it was a wild goose chase. I'm sorry, Vosper.
Oh, it wasn't your fault. Sounded a pretty good lead. Obviously, we had to follow it up.
Was it a complete blank?
I'm afraid so.
What about Don Freeman?
Well, our Felixstowe people report he left the cottage 4 days ago.
4 days ago?
Yes.
That must have been shortly after Burford saw him.
I believe it was the same night.
Is the cottage empty at the moment, then?
I understand so. Freeman certainly isn't there now.
Who's in charge at Felixstowe?
Inspector Ivor. He's a very good man. If you find yourself in that part of the world, look him up.
Yeah, I've met Ivor. He came over to Downborough while I was staying there.
Oh, yes, of course. We put him onto this business because he knew Mary Gardner and was au fait with the general situation.
I may go down to Felixstowe and have a word with Ivor.
I certainly think you could do worse. Temple, do you think Burford was telling the truth?
Do you mean about the telephone call or the fact that he went to see Freeman?
Both.
Yes, I believe he was, Vosper. You see, when I saw him the first time and questioned him about the Downborough incident, he was obviously worried. He'd something at the back of his mind.
You mean he was thinking about Freeman?
Yes.
Then why didn't he mention him to you? You're not going to tell me that this is the first time they've been mistaken for each other. Yes, Sergeant?
Mr. Tico would like to see you, sir.
Tico?
Yes, sir. He says it's important.
All right. Tell him to come up.
Yes, sir.
Were you expecting him?
No, we've been having him watched. Ever since we got your message, he's probably got wise to it.
Yes.
He's made no attempt to contact Freeman. So far as we can tell, the only thing he's interested in is that wretched dance band.
Nevertheless, Tico's mixed up in this business. I'm sure of that.
I agree, but to what extent exactly?
When you saw Tico the night Mary Gardner was shot, you expressed the opinion that his wife was the brains and Tico merely a line shooter.
Yes, I still think that.
But it was Tico, remember, not his wife, who contacted Freeman.
Yes, but if Burford was telling the truth, the phone call seems to imply that Tico wasn't at all happy about things. Freeman said, "There's nothing to worry about. She's been taken to the Isle of Skye."
You mean Tico probably made the call because he...
Mr. Tico, sir.
Well, come in, Tico. I think you know Mr. Temple.
Yeah, I know, Mr. Temple.
Why'd you sit down?
Look, Inspector, I guess we're both pretty busy, so I won't beat about the bush. Have you got someone tailing me?
Tailing you?
You know what I mean, following me around.
Sit down, Tico.
What makes you think someone's following you?
Look, don't give me this what makes you think technique. I've asked a simple question, I want a simple answer. Is someone tailing me?
Yes.
One of your men?
Yes, one of my men.
Okay. At least we know where we are. Now, what's this all about?
Supposing you tell us what it's all about.
I don't get this.
Tico, a girl called Sylvia Ross disappeared. The night she disappeared, she sent you a note.
I know, and I told you what was in the note.
You said it was a request for your band to play a certain dance number.
So it was.
Are you sure the note didn't contain something quite different?
What, for instance?
A name and an address, for instance.
What name? What address?
The name, Mr. Clive Lawrence. The address, Hotel Steinbach, Zermatt.
I've never heard of anyone called Lawrence.
Listen, Tico, we think you're mixed up in this business. That's why I put one of my men onto you. Now, if you've got any sense, you'll talk.
Talk? Talk? About what? Get wise to yourself, for Pete's sake. I'm an entertainer, a public figure. If a girl wants to send me a note, there's nothing I can do about it. I've told you I'd never set eyes on Sylvia Ross until she came to the Palais that night.
And what about Brian Dexter?
Dexter?
The man she was with.
I don't even remember the guy. Now look, Inspector, so far I've been very patient about all this, but if you don't stop this malarkey and call off your bloodhound, I shall write to the powers that be.
And what should you tell them?
I shall tell them that an innocent man is being persecuted. I shall tell them the whole story.
Well, that's more than you've told us.
What do you mean?
Tico, you say you've never heard of a Mr. Lawrence.
No.
Have you heard of a man called Freeman? Don Freeman?
No.
Didn't you telephone Freeman the other day? And didn't he say, there's nothing to worry about. She's, meaning Sylvia Ross, she's been taken to the Isle of Skye?
I tell you, I've never heard of Freeman. If I'd never heard of him, how the heck could I telephone him?
For an entertainer, a public figure, it's surprising the number of people you've never heard of.
Now listen, policeman, don't get
Tico,
too clever.
Do you happen to know a Mr. De Silva by any chance?
De Silva?
Yes.
Yeah, I know De Silva. He's an eye specialist.
That's right. You know him.
Well, I consulted him about 6 months ago.
Why?
I was having headaches. I thought perhaps I needed glasses.
Who recommended De Silva?
My wife did.
Your wife?
Yeah. She went to him before we were married.
Oh, I see. Well, thank you.
What are you smiling at?
Am I smiling?
Yeah. Have I said something funny?
On the contrary, my dear fellow. On the contrary.
Hello?
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 Can I speak to Mr. Temple, please?
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. You've just missed him.
Just missed him? You mean he's gone out for a little while?
No, sir. Mr. and Mrs. Temple have gone away for 2 or 3 days.
Oh, I see. Perhaps you could give me their address.
Oh, certainly, sir. They're staying at the... At some place in the country.
Some place in the country?
Yes, sir.
Well, where exactly?
Oh, I'm afraid I don't know where exactly, sir.
That is not very helpful.
No, sir. Who shall I say called?
Mr. De Silva. Mr. Ernest De Silva.
Thank you, Mr. De Silva. I'll deliver your message. Goodbye.
Like another pint, please, Doris.
Yes, sir.
No. On second thoughts, you better make it half a pint.
Yes, all right, Inspector.
Good evening, Inspector.
Oh, hello, Mr. Temple. My word, you must have stepped on it. I didn't expect you here as soon as this.
You know my wife, don't you?
Yes, indeed I do.
Of course, good evening.
Can I offer you a drink, Mrs. Temple?
No, thank you, Inspector.
How about you, Mr. Temple?
May I have a light ale?
Light ale? Very good, sir. I'll bring them across to the table.
Thank you, Doris. Oh, come along, Mrs. Temple. Let's all sit over there in the corner. It's a bit quieter. As soon as I got the message, I went out to the cottage, but there was no sign of Freeman.
I understand it is at a place called Denford Heath.
Yes, that's right. It's about 4 miles from here. It's quite a nice-looking cottage, but, rather isolated. It's on the fringe of Lansmore Wood.
Was the cottage empty?
Oh, yes, completely. It was about, 4:30 when I got there.
Mrs. Johnson had just left.
Who's Mrs. Johnson?
Oh, she's the Daily Woman.
Oh, have you spoken to her?
Yes, but she didn't say a great deal. Well, just between you and me, she's got a bit of a soft job working for Freeman, and she doesn't want to lose it.
What does Freeman do while he's down there?
Well, so far as I can gather, he spends most of his time reading and pottering about. He doesn't stay very long, 2-3 days at the most.
Do the local people like him?
Well, frankly, they've seen very little of him, Mrs. Temple. He's only had the cottage for 6 months.
I see.
You staying the night here in Felixstowe?
No, we're on our way to Downborough.
Oh, well, you go through Denford Heath, you can have a look at the cottage. It's off the main road, about, a mile and a half from Denford Church.
Inspector, is Salty West still in Downborough?
Oh, yes, yes, he's back. He went away for a week or so. Oh, remember, you sent me a telegram.
Yes.
Now, Salty's lived most of his life in Downborough. I don't ever remember him leaving the place before.
Where did he go to, do you know?
No, I don't know. No one seems to know. It's something of a mystery.
And is he just the same as ever?
How do you mean?
I mean, does he look the same and mix with the same people?
Oh, yes, I think so. Well, perhaps he's even more independent than he was. He drinks rather a lot, but well, then he always did.
Yes. We sent you the telegram, Inspector, because my wife was under the impression she'd seen him in London. Well, actually, at Maidenhead.
At Maidenhead?
Yes. Yes. He was sitting in a Rolls Royce outside the Stag's Head Hotel.
What? Salty West?
Yes. And he looked very clean, very spruce, and very pleased with himself, I thought.
You must have been mistaken, Mrs. Temple.
No, I wasn't mistaken, I assure you. In any case, he recognized me. He winked.
He winked?
Yes.
Oh. Well, then that was Salty, all right. He just can't resist winking. It's a regular habit of his. Now, what on earth was he doing at Maidenhead?
That's what I'd like to know. And what I intend to ask him.
A pint of bitter and a light ale.
Oh, look, I said half a pint, Doris.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir.
It's all right, this one's on me. You can manage a pint, Inspector.
Thank you, sir.
Well, good luck, Mr. Temple. I hope you get more out of Salty West than I did.
We must have done over a mile and a half since we passed Enford Church.
Yes. Oh, it's a lovely night. I haven't seen a new moon like this for ages.
Mm. Turn your money over.
What money? There's a cottage over on the left.
Ah, yes, that looks like it.
Mm. Are you going to stop?
Of course. What do you think I've come down here for?
Well, I thought you just wanted to have a look at the place. I doubt whether Freeman's there.
It doesn't matter if he isn't. I still want to have a look round.
Mm. How long will it take us to Downborough from here?
Oh, less than an hour. Hop out and see what it says on the gate, Steve.
Right. Rather pretty.
Yes, it's a very nice porch.
Yeah. I agree with the inspector, though. It is isolated. Shouldn't like to live here.
It probably looks quite different in daylight.
Did you hear that?
It's only an owl. Don't be silly.
I expected a lot of bats round here, too.
Yes, I shouldn't be a bit surprised. Oh. Well, there's obviously no one here, or there'd be a light showing.
What's that handle on the side of the door?
Where? Oh, it's a bell pull.
Oh, that works anyway.
There's no one in.
Hmm. There's a window over here. Perhaps we could see in. What are you looking at?
There's something sticking out of the letterbox. It's a telegram.
Addressed to Freeman?
Yes, Don Freeman, Redstone Cottage.
Oh, well, you'd better put it back. Oh, really, Paul? What's it say?
S.R. arrived Isle of Skye. Operation successful.
S.R., that's Sylvia Ross.
Yes.
Who sent the telegram?
Doesn't say.
No, it sounds to me as if we ought to be going to Scotland, Paul, instead of Downborough.
Yes. Nevertheless, we're going to Downborough, Steve.
What time it is, Paul?
No.
I said, do you know what time it is?
No.
Well, it's 7 o'clock. Mm. Come on, get up, you
lazy
thing.
Steve, take it easy. Put that pillow down.
You get up.
Oh, all right. You're developing into one of those hearty females. Cold showers and eggs and bacon for breakfast.
Eggs and bacon. Sounds delicious. It's a lovely morning. The sun's blazing. I adore Dunbar.
Good. I'll remember the next time you want to go to the south of France.
What are we going to do this morning?
Well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to track down Salty West and have a good talk to the old boy. I've a hunch he knows something. What are you looking at?
Isn't that a wonderful yacht?
Where?
In the harbour.
Oh, I didn't think it'd be in the garden. By Timothy, it is.
It's a beauty.
It certainly is.
I'm not the only one who gets up at 7 o'clock.
Why do you say that?
Look, there's someone on deck.
If I had a yacht like that, I doubt whether I should ever go below.
What's he doing?
There's a dinghy on the other side. I think he's trying to get hold of the rope so...
What is it, Bill?
Did you see the way he walked across the deck? How he stooped as it... I'm sure I've seen that man before somewhere.
Oh, darling, you couldn't possibly recognize anyone from
I'm
this distance.
I'm sure. Where are my binoculars?
I don't think you've unpacked them. Oh, yes. Here they are.
Oh, thanks.
Well?
By Timothy.
Who is it?
Do you know what that yacht's called?
What?
The Isle of Skye.
That was the fourth episode of the Francis Durbridge serial, Paul Temple and the Lawrence Affair, with Peter Cook as Paul Temple and Marjorie Westbury as Steve. Listen to the next episode of Martin C. Webster's production of Paul Temple and the Lawrence Affair. A present for Steve.